My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman. A weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon. Through provocative opinions, seductive humor, candor, and song.
You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. And I am here with a stunning array of guests, starting with Shelley Watson, Michael from Micah Jones. Do tell me your name, you fascinating man, you.
Scott.
I know that part, but what's the last part?
Video.
Scott Video.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, Scott.
Thank you.
I love your t-shirt, by the way. Right. I want one.
Well, thank you very much.
Gag reflex.
It's partially true.
I relate.
F0
I want one. You make these, yes?
I do make these. It's a t-shirt line that I have called Cunties.
Cunties.
I'm very proud of my punny name.
I really love your punny name.
Well, thank you. Yes. And they're doing quite well. I'm very proud of my little side cunt business.
Listen, that is a side cunt business I want to wear.
Well, fantastic. You should. I have a shirt that says Steel Vagina.
Steel vagina, or made of steel?
Like a trap.
Like
yeah.
Iron vagina.
Yeah.
Bear trap. Twat.
Yeah.
Bear trap.
That's my new drag name.
What? Bear trap twat. Where's Rob Watch?
Watson, tell me about this bear trap twat.
I like that because it's very, for me, it's sort of a conjured of the, you know, vagina dentata. You know how they, actually, do you know about that, Scott? The whole, there was this whole mystical thing about the vagina dentata. And it was that lot of men. Well, believe me, I've seen some vaginas that have looked a little guilty. So, one or two frittatas could have happened out of that.
Back to that.
And it was that vaginas had teeth, and that was why men were afraid to enter women because they would be eaten alive. And especially, like, it was an issue for their boys.
Creation.
Yeah. And so many other things, so I like that.
Well, my reference is Grace Jones in Boomerang, when she was trying to name her perfume, and she said, Steel Vagina.
And then...
Afterbirth!
And my second favorite line in that movie is, of course, no man can resist this process! And then they settled on... Strange.
And this...
Spelled strange.
Was this the movie Vamp?
No,
Boomerang.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So great. Robin Gibbons.
Yeah. Oh.
What?
Eddie Murphy.
It was a comedy.
Yeah.
It was a really funny comedy.
Like
it was
in her 80s fucking costumes,
mm-hmm.
and that whole it's a style icon.
With her angular look.
Every scene in that movie, she just like absolutely stole.
Yeah.
And it was when Robin Gibbons had first started to come out. And I think this was before she married Mike Tyson. And she was still, like, on her, speaking of cunts, like, she was, like, the cunty African-American woman in Hollywood at that time, right? Because everybody's like, oh, Robin Gibbons, so bougie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her. That was one of the first movies that I realized about foot fetishes before I got into dom work, because there's a scene where Eddie Murphy pulls down the sheets.
Oh, yeah.
And he reveals her toes, and they're all jacked up, and he's like, oh, God, no, Jesus, no. And I was like, oh, my God, I think he liked toes. And it would, do you remember that in the movie?
Yeah,
I was too young when that movie came out. So
oh
I
my god,
see it.
From all the
please.
This
bitch.
Are you kidding me?
I love when
people
share these stories. They're so
okay.
So annoying.
Are you kidding me? She was editing Blue Angel, okay, with Marlena.
I was Marlena.
Yeah.
So tell, I want him, I want Scott to tell a story about how his company, t-shirt company, Cunt Tees, came about.
It's oh God, because you gave me a great sticker.
Yeah.
About
but
Madonna.
It's a really fucking funny story. Please
so,
tell it.
I am a Madonna fan and have been for years. And generally when she goes on tour, that's when I pick a week and just follow her around and go on vacation. So when she did the MDNA tour, she played on my birthday at the Stade de France in Paris. So, and then I went to London after that. And I bought VIP tickets for both events. The first one in Paris, I was up in this like skybox, like so far from the field, like I was nowhere near. And I had decided that I was gonna silk screen some shirts and I was gonna, she was gonna notice me. So the first
show. I love groupies, they're so cute.
That's
right?
So,
yeah. So the
romantic.
First show, my
no.
shirt said, not a monster, which was clearly a dig.
Of course, for not Gaga, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because don't even get started on
okay.
that one.
Which
but,
I'm sure Madonna would love on the countryside of it.
But I'm way up in the thing, and like in the real VIP down front, there was like Jean-Paul Gaultier and Dina Von Teese and like all these fierce, fabulous people, and I tried to get on the field, and they wouldn't let me. But fuck it. So the next night, or two nights later, I went to see her in Hyde Park in London. And that shirt said, Cunty Madonna Shade. Which, if you don't really know what that is, like, to me, my favorite thing about her is when she's a total bitch. I think it's just the funniest.
I know that trend.
Yeah, I think it's just the most ridiculous and fabulous thing ever. So I went to the show, and I was in VIP. It's Hyde Park, so it's a park. So there was like a fence that separated the stage and the VIP from everybody else. So I was in the VIP, and the warm-up DJ came on, and the Jumbotron screens came on, and being the sort of film person I am, I turned around, I was like, where's the camera? And I come on and started voguing straight towards him, and I heard the entire audience like erupt in applause. I turned and looked that I was on the Jumbotron.
Yeah!
And so for the rest of the night, there were two camps of people. People who would come up to me and say, oh my god, I love your shirt, it's fucking fabulous. Where did you get it? Can I have one? Or the other person who looks at me and is like, Cunty Madonna shirt. What is
what's
that?
It mean?
What is that? And you know, if you have to describe Cunty and shade to people, it's like, oh girl, I don't have any time, honey.
At a Madonna concert.
Yeah, at a concert, I'm like, she's doing both. Can we please? She's doing both. The next day I have friends from the States saying, hey, well, girl, do you even know? Because I didn't have social media. They're like, Cunty Madonna, she is trending on Twitter. And all these people were taking photos and posting them of me and hashtagging Cunty Madonna Shade and saying, who is this guy? I love him. I want that shirt. So I thought I should start selling it.
Yeah.
So I put a little website up, whatever. I got some orders, but I was making them by hand. So I couldn't really keep up. So I ended up just getting a bigger website and a printer, and now it's
Cunty.
Cunty.
Yeah,
doing quite well.
Cunty.
Yes, I actually tried to copyright the phrase, but I was not able to.
Just because of her name?
No.
On the grounds of immorality and vulgarity.
Can you believe that?
I lost a very expensive case with the Copyright Office of the United States, and I ended up telling you that freedom of speech isn't always free.
I have been producing Badass Burlesque for almost 13 years, and I tried to do an LLC, like an LLC, like Badass Productions.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you.
They no, because the word ass.
Yeah.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Dead serious.
So your name was motherfucking twat bitch. You couldn't copyright your name.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And so I ended up putting the word cuss
because of religion. What do you think?
True that. Yeah.
And so that's why I ended up expanding the brand and making even more stuff, because it was sort of a statement of my First Amendment rights, because if you spend billions of dollars on wars to make other people free, and I can't print shit at home or as a business owner protect my rights, then what?
That seems
what
really weird, because it seems like if you, let's say if you have like a butt plug company, you know what I mean, and it was like... No, I'm serious. And it was like, you know...
Wait, to say butt plug, or you can say ass plug.
Oh, that's interesting, because so they're the ones who decide, I guess it's the same thing as art.
Is this like Kiwi's Playhouse? Is like,
well,
you have that mic going to come in?
Oh, that's actually Madonna right now.
Oh,
she heard you were talking about her. She's like, I'm in all
stalled.
I can't believe it. But it seems like there's a lot of porn companies and...
Well, we're off now. We're gone.
Okay.
What?
It went off.
Stop.
This came unplugged. Something.
Oh, my God.
What happened? It became unplugged?
I guess so, yeah.
They got up and moved, huh? We're
fucking Mercury. Fancy.
Mercury. That's going to be it for like a week.
Oh, hashtag Mercury Retrograde sucks. All right, I just stepped a teeny bit out of the way and I thought it was being ever so graceful.
Well, it's still recording.
Came up on the screen too, look.
Yeah, I know. It's
just that thing.
But this is still pointing.
Well, maybe you have to give it some power now, no?
Oh, the power's not. Oh, it's got to be turned back on.
Turn it on.
Yeah, here. Push the button. Okay, let's see.
Let's see it.
This one right here.
Yeah,
there we go.
Back on?
Yep, there it is. No, it just seems surprising
I don't think she's recording anymore.
Yeah,
it never went off.
Oh, we're not recording anymore, but...
Oh, that's right, you're right. It's still good.
I didn't stop the recording. I was hoping you guys could keep having your conversation. I didn't want to interrupt it, but it's... Sorry, my bad.
It's okay.
It's still recording now, though.
It's the feedback.
That was from her headset being close.
What's that sound in the background?
That's the...
Okay, there we go.
News edit.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, that seems surprising as far as the trademarks, because of, porn companies and stuff like that, because aren't there, like the Jeff Stryker dick and all of that, isn't there, I guess it would be a title of a product versus the name of the company.
I was going to say that's a title of a product. I'm talking about an organization calling themselves, a certain name. It has to be within the rights of it has to be
like, I don't think any porn company has an LLC that says, Dick & Productions.
Yeah.
Although,
I have to say, I knew this girl in L.A. who sold dildos door-to-door, and her...
Door-to-door.
Her company was called Up and Coming.
She was a door-to-door dildo.
It should be called Triple D. Door-to-door dildos.
Was one of her clients.
Who was?
Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, I kind of. Well, I had
after
a friend
that poke
who
up
used
her
to,
pussy and ass. She probably didn't have any feeling.
I had a very big friend's job was to put glycerin coke in Stevie's ass.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a coke glycerin suppository.
That was your job.
That was her job when they were on tour. I don't know.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I thought you said your job. Whose job?
No, it was my ex girlfriend, the one who committed suicide.
Well, another story.
That could
maybe
be.
We have a clue.
After her coke addiction.
No, actually, she wasn't. Boy, this is interesting, this ball here. I'm like trying to cross my legs.
You're on
not.
The bouncing chair.
Is it nearing out again?
Really...
Would you like a more cushioned chair? I can bring it for you right now.
Actually,
would you? Feels good. But that's surprising to me that you weren't able to, able to get that.
And
what about
if
you change the spelling or something?
No.
They're like, we see behind you, Scott.
And that particular year, Webster actually put the word cunty in the dictionary.
Hmm.
And I said to them,
oh my God,
this is something that has been grasped, and you're putting a connotation on it because of the word cunt.
Yeah.
But cunty, to me and my group of friends, means fierce, and that's something you aspire to. And so we've given it a It's a completely different connotation than what the U.S. Patent Office was thinking that it was.
Shelley Watson is one of my heroes because she does aspire to that.
To be cunty?
Yeah.
Well, good.
I don't think so much I try to be cunty as I'm definitely not as cunty as Madonna.
You don't have to try.
Yeah. Cunty comes from inside, so it just emulates.
It's an inner goddess knowing.
Totally.
It is, but then for me, it's weird because I think if somebody were to call me cunty, my first instinct is like, no, but I'm really nice. See, for me, for cunty, when I say like cunty,
I mean,
has two meanings. I think one meaning is like something so cunty,
yeah.
And the other one is like, bitch, you look cunty.
That's what I mean. Like fuck.
Right.
Like there's a million different ways. But for me, like if somebody was saying,
it's like
your
word
cunty,
fuck.
Yeah, that's what
you've
I said.
Seen it.
Yeah, there's a million different things.
Right.
I just think it means you own your feminine power.
Yeah.
Then I am super
cunty. That's why you're out here. You're such a cunt. I love it.
The word cunt,
yeah,
the last taboo.
I want to be your kind of cunt.
But the thing is, there are people in, like I'm sure, like, people like in Middle America, people in, you know, whatever, the Bible people. If you said that word around them, it would be like a deal breaker. Like, they would never be your friend. Like, if you called someone a cunt,
we wouldn't take it the right way.
I feel like
exactly.
It's like calling, like,
yeah,
the word cunt feels different than cunty.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But that's what they hear it in.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
you're right, yeah.
They hear that connotation. Is,
you know, cunt, there's a really good book by Inga La Gringa, a.k.a. Inga Muschio, and she wrote a book called Cunt. And it's really pretty. It's square. It has a little daisy on the cover. And when you dig inside, she gives you the whole history on the word.
When you dig inside the cunt,
I was waiting.
Deeply, yeah. When you finger the book
with trimmed nails,
full blown, you find out that cunt was a reference to goddess back in the day, and that. It used to be a term of reverence, not an insult.
Ooh.
Well, I find
and she gives you the history on how it went from being a compliment to an insult.
That's always been the way I think.
Can you sum it up? How did it happen?
Anatomy. But yeah.
In one word, patriarchy.
Mm. Yeah, but nobody ever seems to be bothered by the male aspect of it. You know what I mean? It was like you call somebody a cock, you call somebody a dick.
There
it doesn't
so
have the
few
same
insults for the male genitalia. There are way more for the feminine.
Well, even in London, they're like, oh, you fucking cunt. You
know, yeah.
It's like they use it all the time.
It's thrown
so,
off.
Yeah. Fucking slag.
Yeah.
All we got for our men is calling them, like, an asshole.
Daddy.
Or dicks.
Yeah.
Daddy's hot, though. You can't. That's not
sorry.
Nice. I find
that's
daddy to be
I
hot. I, so it's not an insult. But, like, asshole. I think that's, like, the only legit.
Yeah, but a lot of dudes call other dudes pussies.
And bitches.
Yeah,
and
but.
Spots and
yeah.
I can't. It's so derogatory
I think
to the female genitalia.
Non-gender.
Pussies can pass a watermelon. They are so much stronger
see,
than balls.
This is information I don't need.
Balls have
giving
no
another
with.
Man.
Yeah,
so
but you
a
can
see.
I'm sure
does
it took
feel
enough time?
Strong enough.
So you think we should change the expression like you got some balls or you got some cunt?
Well, that's what Betty White had
well,
said, right?
Like, exactly. Her famous quote.
Yeah.
What's her famous quote?
Well, I'll Google it.
She,
I want to get
no,
it right.
She had said, you know, people keep saying when somebody's weak, they should say, you should stop being such
stop
a pussy.
Stop calling people a pussy.
And they say the reason why
pussies
can take
a pounding.
So
they take a pounding.
They can take a
but
pounding.
I want to get it right
know,
because it's one of the coolest quotes ever.
When you talk of pussy pounding.
I'm just going to type in Betty White and pussy.
Well, see, I try to have this conversation with people when they say, wait, you have sex with men and with women? And I say, yes. And they're like, well, how do you have sex with men and women? I said,
with
the same way.
Vagina.
Like, well, with my vagina or with a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I say, the only difference between, like, if I'm fucking a guy or fucking a girl is that there's no bottom out for an
okay,
ass.
Here's the quote
service.
From Betty White.
Oh.
It goes
I didn't get
like
the,
this.
I didn't get the tagline. The what?
I forgot where I was. Sorry.
The world is ready for this. Hold on.
Why do people say grow some balls? Balls are weak and sensitive. If you want to be tough, grow a vagina. Those things can take a pounding.
Oh, Rose.
I know.
Oh, Rose.
Betty White? Betty White on Goodreads.
Well, Betty, too. You don't know this about her, but she was a big pinup model. So
of course,
she wore lots
yes.
of bikinis and stuff. And you know who else was an amazing pinup model? And
gorgeous
model?
Lucille Ball.
Mm-mm.
She was one of them.
Martha Ray.
What?
Wait.
Witchy, do you remember Martha Ray? Witchy Poo? And she
yeah,
was on those
yeah.
denture commercials?
No.
She was in the road, what is it, the
oh my God,
road to Cairo or something with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. And she was absolutely gorgeous.
Gorgeous?
She had really long, who, exactly.
The rhymes of the oranges.
And
what about melons?
She was absolutely amazing and a beautiful voice, Martha Ray. So if you look at her from when she was very young, look. So what is it, Road to Egypt something? What was the movie that she did? Those are the stills from it. But she was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And she grew up to be a character actress. And she
like Bette Davis, yes.
She reminded me of, which was something actually I'd like to talk about, which I think would be really fun, is in show business for women, you know, we were talking earlier in the 80s about how there was all the Morgan Fairchilds and they all looked the same. In the 70s, there were two types of women that were portrayed on television. It was either sex pot or zany, because like Ruth Buzzy, right?
Yeah.
From Laugh-In. The best body on Laugh-In was Ruth Buzzy,
yeah.
but nobody ever saw it because of that butterface, as
yeah.
they called it, right?
Butterface.
And because she was
yes.
such a great impressionist, she was a phenomenal singer. She was like the Rich Little back then. She did all these great impersonations, and she was highly talented, but nobody ever looked at her as this like sexual being because she was the funny person.
Right.
And in comedy now, I feel like we're getting a wider variety of what's acceptable visually. Like
uh-huh.
if we look at like Melissa McCarthy, you know, Amy Schumer. So these are
yes.
average, everyday, mainstream American women who are being funny without having to be overly sexual.
Monique,
wow. absolutely. Yeah, or looking at, what was that?
What I have to say, I have to digress here for a second. I like the fact that Amy Schumer is overtly sexual. And not your typical hot blonde. Like
yeah, I do too. I'm
like
with
the
that.
Fact that she isn't slut shamed because she doesn't look like a Playboy bunny.
No,
and
I
like
think she is slut shamed because she doesn't look like one. I think if she was a flawless person, if she was a Kardashian, they wouldn't be like, wait, I'm sorry, how many rappers did you sleep with last year? How many people have you put in your vagina that we see you dating in People magazine?
But she's
nobody
representing a
that.
Type of female sexuality. I like the fact that she's not shy to let her freak flag fly.
No,
you know?
she isn't, and I don't think any of these other women are either, but the difference is that society is ickied out by... That's what I didn't even say that icky, but
yeah.
grossed out, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
By an average woman who is overtly sexual because they think there must be something
or
wrong with you.
Or an older woman,
that's
too.
That's what
it was yes.
older people.
Oh, I know. Well, I'll be 50 this year. And now...
What?
Yeah, I feel
God,
like...
God, I thought you were so much younger.
Well, your tits look 34.
Well, that's exactly right. But you're only as old as
until she gets those lips on
it.
She's got experience.
Okay.
But it's true, there is this sort of thing, like especially hosting burlesque shows and doing with Company XIV, I'm always this sort of like, I feel like Mrs. Garrett. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm
yeah.
this.
And you look like her too.
You know?
I would just say you're way hotter than Mrs. Garrett.
Well, I mean,
let's
but in my daily thing, like I had
Agnes
Moorhead Bewitched is 10 times hotter.
Yes.
But even then, even Andorra, who was like sexy,
yes.
Nobody ever
I
actually pictured her ever
I
having
loved
sex
her as a child.
Nobody looked at her as a sexual being. The television show, they didn't portray her as being sexual. They portrayed her as being mysterious. They portrayed her as being very strong.
But hindsight's 20/20.
She was a voice of reason on
that
show.
Yeah, but
she
there wasn't the sexiest character was Serena. That if you want to be
was
wild.
Was she the brunette version?
She was the brunette.
Bad twin, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
even then,
she's my favorite.
Yeah,
but Serena was pretty awesome. But nobody ever sat and thought about, you know, if it was like, Emma, come on over here and bend me up with a table, right?
Right.
Nobody ever thought they were having sex.
Well, the porn business wouldn't last if that was the, you know, what they portrayed in it. That's...
If only it was actually the way, I can't believe I'm saying this, if only reality was more like porn in that aspect.
Yes.
That you can fuck a grandma, you can have somebody that you like with no
a
legs.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, this is why and how fetishes are born. Like, all these things
yeah,
society
the
doesn't accept.
Is,
someone sees
yeah.
Andorra, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my god, I feel weird down there. Before you know it, they're hiring a mistress to dress up like Andorra and spank them. And
let me ask you about that for Micah, because fetish, I had this conversation with somebody the other day, and they said, you know, I have a fetish for this. And I said, when you think of the word fetish, what do you think of it? What is that? What is a fetish to you?
When I think of the word fetish, I think of something that is maybe considered taboo by others,
mm-hmm.
but something that completely turns you on and is at the top of your list of gets you going. That's what I think of fetish.
What about you, Scott? When somebody says, I fetishize something, what do you think of?
I have a couple.
Yeah.
I have always, I love sneakers. I have a lot of sneakers.
But I mean, just the word of fetishizing.
And I always say I have a sneaker fetish.
Ah.
Because I have all these shoes and I have this thing.
Ah.
Yeah,
it's not just it implies that maybe I have some sort of sexual thing with them. But I don't.
It's
although I saw you
last night,
I don't lie.
Yeah.
Although you can leave your knee-high socks and your sneakers on if you want.
Ah.
But it's not. So when I say I have a sneaker fetish, I find like that's different than me.
I kind of feel like that's slang in a way. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's
but
as far as
sexual kissing. That's my giant.
Where are we?
Fetish.
What happened?
What?
Kissing?
Yeah, you're talking about fetishes. That's for me. I know it sounds innocent, but
No. I don't think that.
I
there's any.
I make kissing very dirty.
Oh.
See, because when I think of the word fetish, and I think probably just because I'm such a fucking weirdo stickler for, like, words, to me, when you fetishize something sexually, not something else, it's an obsession where that's the thing that brings
lips.
You the relief,
yeah.
and it's what
everything
really does it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so much so that there's nothing else that does it for you.
Mind.
So if you have a fetish for
latex,
that means that you will not be able to achieve orgasm or be aroused unless you have that.
That's why people are so
really
scared by someone like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Lips,
yeah,
that's his fetish.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's no
something. Yeah,
I see
that as an extreme fetish.
But I'm just saying,
like,
you know, that's what we're talking about. I'm not saying they're all like that. I'm just saying
mind.
Something
yeah,
that just you have to do.
I'm a huge oral kissing
we're
fetish.
Still on that?
Yeah.
We've passed that.
It's real.
Honey, get in the
it's
HOV lane.
Real.
Right, get out of the traffic. Actually,
let me ask you something, Norma, because you've been like, you know, in
someone
the
doesn't like
sex.
Listen, I'm a very sexual person.
No, and you've been in the sex party scene for a really long time.
And doing nightlife and especially doing drag and my whole drag character being like vixen and sexual,
mm-hmm.
I learned so much
mm-hmm.
about sex, about women, about all kinds of things that I never would have learned as a skinny little girl. Because,
mm-hmm.
come on, drugs happen before drag.
Yeah.
But, you know, drag was a drug on its own. You know, it was completely insane the things I learned about gender, about fetish, about, you know, all these different things.
What about the age thing? Because, like, you know, there have been, you know, you've been here, you know, I mean, I guess I think of, like, the late 70s, early 80s, when everything was really switching over in New York, for lack of a better word or whatever. And because most of the people that I know now who were, you know, drag queens that have been around since the late 70s, 80s or whatever, that it's like a young, rest in peace, sweetie. There's a whole, you know, it's a young girl's gig, they say. And then you just become, literally, the term that people throw out, oh, that old queen, you know what I mean? Do you feel like there's a desexualization of drag queens the older they get, too?
Oh, like ageism. You're talking about ageism.
Ageism, yeah.
Women go through that, like Betty and Joe.
Yeah, I know heterosexual women, but I'm wondering for drag, like, how is that the same?
We should ask one. No, no, I mean, you know... People still ask me to do drag now, and I'll do it for fun every now and then, but I won't bring back that drag persona because people are like, oh, come on, bro. You don't have to wear a corset anymore and those 7-inch stilettos. I was like, that's the character.
That's the, yeah.
If I'm not in 7-inch stilettos and pulled down to 22 inches on my waist,
but
then
see,
that's not sexy to me. So it's about me. It's not about what anyone else perceives. That's what I wanted to put out there with what I was doing. But on the ages thing, I think whether you're a woman or, I mean, maybe it doesn't happen for straight men, but in the gay world, it's the same thing
why
too,
you
know?
Because
yeah.
You're a big fucking faggot, shady Madonna.
Because I'm giving you plenty Madonna
shady.
No, so, you know, particularly in the gay community too, I think that's, gays love women so much, women love men so much because we relate a lot. On the same issues, I think.
That's what I mean.
You know,
like,
I mean, we all people have daddy fetishes. You know, that's still in there. But the majority of people, you know, too old. They're like, oh, how old is that guy? Oh, he's too old. He's too old. You know, in profiles, no one over 40, or you know, whatever. It's there, and I think it's even worse for women because women are always portrayed as pretty and sexy and gorgeous and beautiful. You don't look at men in magazines.
We're
so gorgeous and beautiful and young. It's like always hot.
Yes.
You know? But women, they get older and they start judging, like, oh, look at her neck, look at her range spots.
But I think it's so interesting that this one person that wanted to hire you felt that they could verbalize permission for you not to have to be that sexy anymore because of where you are in your age.
Yeah.
Because they were like,
no,
oh,
they don't
want
to hire me. They
just want
to bring her back.
You don't have to get on that. You don't
right.
have to do
right.
that. And you're like,
right.
but that is what I am. So essentially, subconsciously, they're telling you, oh, we know you're old now,
yeah.
so you don't
you're
have to
be that.
Your
old fat bitch is a much flat
yeah.
and a moo-moo. More flats and a moo-moo, right.
I'm going to chime in on this combo. My own mother, I remember her, she was addicted to her Vogue magazines.
Mm.
And I remember really distinctively in high school, she would point out, like, Christie Brinkley. It was the 80s, folks.
Oh, yeah.
She pointed, like, Chrissy Brinkley or anybody.
Cindy Crawford.
She's getting wrinkles. Look, they're airbrushing her. Look how old she's getting. Look, like, almost like she was getting off on it.
Yeah.
And I vowed I would never...
Airbrush
have
age.
That relationship
oh,
with
I've seen
age.
Your phone. I've seen
I Photoshop like a motherfucker.
I've seen
a
bitch. Like,
yeah,
I Photoshop like a motherfucker.
My
but,
husband does that, and I'm like, who is that? He's like, it's me. I'm like, that's not you.
I will never disparage another woman.
He's 27.
For coming into being sage.
Well, you know what? Do you watch that show Frankie and Grace?
Oh,
Frankie and Grace?
So good.
The last season was so great because they're trying to, you know, start this dildo company and they go to this firm that's going to become
mm-hmm.
their partner and they do all the promo for them and they take pictures of them and like airbrush the fuck out of them and they look like
yeah.
they're 35.
Yeah.
And they were so mad about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that doesn't
but
even look like us.
But interesting about that show though is it also profiles because I have a lot of my dyke friends that are huge fans of Lily Tomlin. Huge fans of Lily Tomlin because she's
my favorites.
She was like one of the very first, like,
oh my god, have you seen the movie Grandma? Why she wasn't nominated for that movie is beyond me. Grandma, Lily Tomlin, watch it. Done. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay.
I digress.
I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Can I say something about fetish thing? Is that fetish thing?
Yes.
No, the interesting thing about that show you were saying.
Oh, about Lily Tomlin,
yes.
Okay. Because Lily Tomlin, who was one of the first and foremost, like, biggest writers, you know, not so much, like, super out in the public for being gay, but a lot of my friends who were comics and filmmakers and everything were really disappointed. They enjoyed the content of the writing, but disappointed in the fact that both Lily and Jane had such extensive plastic surgery, and that they were overwhelmed by that. And I said, but what you're doing now is you're doing that reverse okay. You want to be able to say, listen, girl, you don't have to wear a bra. Let your titties sag to your knees. Fuck the man.
But get your face on.
But you need to have that same respect to be like, you don't have to do that. But if you want to, fuck yeah, girl,
exactly.
Go out and get it done. Not everybody is going to be Goldie Hawn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn has, like, she looks her age. She's doing her. She's probably had a little bit of work here and there, but she's not going to get it all sucked back and everything. But people look at her, probably like your mom, and say, look at her. She's getting old. And then they see Real Housewife and they're like, look at her with all that Botox. So
it's both that they're not.
There's no permission.
Well.
Yeah. But
it's a consistent age shaming.
Yeah. I do like the fact that there are a lot more campaigns that are using older women, though. Like that one model with the gray hair who's like, oh, she's amazing. And my husband, he does all the retouching for every Maxim cover. That's my husband, like Sports Illustrated. So he's taking these 25-year-old women, and they're getting these big circle lines, like that looks fat, this looks whatever. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then they Photoshop, you know, all of that stuff out of it. But one thing I found really interesting was that there was an ad that he's doing for a facial company, and they were adamant about leaving in some of the lines
good.
And things like that. I wish
good.
I had. It hasn't come out yet, or I'd tell you who it is, but it's a long-standing women's brand of facial care. But they were very adamant about keeping some of the sunspots in and things like that, so it was probably one of the first things that I'd seen that was actually like that. And I do know now in the UK, I think they have certain laws where the, like, there's only a certain level, I think, of Photoshop that's allowed.
What?
Yeah, and
I think all women around the world should sue Photoshop.
Yeah.
It's all their fault.
I don't know, girl. Sometimes
I
can fucking deep sea ice fish in those pores.
I'm to the point where I sit there for half an hour.
But
like, what am I doing? Nothing.
At 46 years old, I'm a proud sage.
Yeah.
I have stories to tell.
Yeah, but I wish my fucking 22-year-old
I feel
exuberance
like that whole ageism is just more directed at women, and I feel that it's a way to silence us because we know too much.
Shut her up, that cunt. No, I mean, we, you know, like I was telling you earlier, I got called a racist against white people.
We've
because
seen too much.
I was calling out white privileged rich straight men, you know, and their bullshit. And I got called out by a white guy for being racist. It's like, no, it's like there's always an oppressor somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
But it always has been the straight white man.
By the way, the doctor, the depressor.
Yeah,
the depressor. But you know, the thing is like, you know, I think this country is changing too. The
country?
It's
what?
Not
country.
It's not, you know, gonna be ruled by rich white men anymore.
But
not
what,
my president.
What is the one
is
thing though? Because Velasco, you keep saying that men are not, they're not being
unless they're gay.
Not that, but there is one subject that's constantly talked about for older, rich, white men that is basically the highest.
Right. Bra.
That's exactly right.
What?
That's the one thing, it's erectile dysfunction medication.
Oh,
that's insane. They don't talk about, they do, they've always had hair club for men. I know you guys remember those commercials.
Okay, can
and
I
also
say something
just
about,
for men.
Do you want me to talk about erectile dysfunction? Because I will.
Sure, I mean,
I have
I'm
a
just,
lot to say right now.
Viagra. How come now you're asking permission? What happened?
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck no. And a woman shouldn't have to ask permission for protection. Okay?
What do you
so
mean?
This is
more funding goes into erectile dysfunction than birth control.
Well, because we want to make
Jesus.
Babies.
Birth
we don't
control
want to
is
them.
Not covered by insurance, and erectile dysfunction is.
Well, that's because it. And I'm only saying
it's covered
this,
by insurance.
And,
you can get it from your doctor. Yeah.
Yes, it
erectile
is.
Erectile dysfunction is covered by insurance.
I was actually prescribed
birth control
because I had some urine.
So your erection is more important than the sacred.
I would like to say yes.
Woman parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. My erection is way more important than the neighborhood.
We can't fake it.
Fucking erection.
Yeah.
You can't fake it.
No.
It's more important than that neighborhood horse fucking.
That's a butt need. My girl, you're pressed.
Yes.
Well, you know, when I run for president, my whole campaign is going to be spayed and neutered. I'm going to run on the campaign spayed and neutered.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, we're overpopulated. Fuck that.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can't, you catch them in a cage.
And
you
need
you
a license.
And for $10.
And if you need a license to drive a car, you need a license to have a child.
Yeah.
You think so?
I thoroughly do.
But how many people cheat on their driver's tests?
Well, you
people
know,
will find a way
still,
around
still,
everything.
It's still a buffer.
But I like what Shelley was saying earlier about kids, that a lot of people have kids who shouldn't have kids because
they feel the pressure of, like, they're going to miss out on something.
Pressure
for women, a lot of women think that they're not complete women. Men say, I have to carry on the title of my name. A woman gets pregnant because of failed birth control. She doesn't want to have an abortion. She's like, okay, if I kill my baby, then I'll go to hell. So I should have this baby, and then I'll be
hell.
In hell. Yeah.
Right, I'll meet
yeah,
her there.
The funny thing is, like, what you were saying earlier is, like, every fucking excuse in the book to have a kid.
Yes.
But the one you need to have... The one reason you really need to have is because you want one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the abortion
really
I
wants.
Had was from rape, and I felt like I was murdering a parasite in my body.
Wait,
say
that
again? I had an abortion from rape, and I was really stoked.
Yeah, but there are
and
a lot of
like
people
I was
who
killing
feel
a parasite.
But
there are a lot of women.
It was the right thing for you, though.
I made the
right?
decision that this man's seed need go nowhere.
But there are other women.
Wow.
Who's then
ever again?
Who's then babies from
hopefully?
But there are some women
2003
who have had children through these experiences
yeah,
whose lives have changed and whose children have been born and had these amazing lives, and then
right.
it becomes
because they wanted the child.
Because they wanted it. And for a different reason, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, my family, I constantly get from my family, you don't know because you don't have children. You don't know because you don't have children. And I say, I didn't push any out of my vagina, but I would definitely understand.
Wow, you're an asshole.
And compassion, that might be easier for me. And now, Velocity, for you, like, I had an abortion, but my story was much different. My mother put me on the pill before I even started having sex.
Oh.
She nailed my window shut
I
and was like,
"I begged my mother
whore,
to put me on
whore,
the pill."
And you got pregnant from the pill?
I got pregnant taking the pill because I was on the pill for over 6.5 years. I was on the pill for 4 years, and then I started having sex.
Yeah.
And then 2 years after I started having sex, I got pregnant on the pill. And I went in, and I didn't, because I was on the pill, and I'm like, I can't be pregnant. And I think it was almost like a little over 2 months, like 8 weeks. And so the doctor said, you know, listen, you know, you're pregnant. What do you want to do? And I said, but I've been taking the pill. And they were like, well, you must have missed it. You must have done something. You must have whatever.
Or,
and I said, no, I didn't. And then the doctor said the same thing. Like, well, you know, your baby is now developing eyes.
Oh,
and your
Christ.
Baby has a spine. And
let me listen. Oh, and it said, mommy, don't kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, that's the thing. Because back in the 80s, like, it wasn't.
It's actually singing Carmen.
Yeah.
It isn't the same as it is now. Like, a lot of women looked at abortion as if it was this very nonchalant, cavalier thing, like, well, you know, let's go have an abortion. Who cares? Like, when
they
when
looked
women,
at it
like
birth control.
Parties.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
and even though this was something...
Because there was sometimes that was the only form of birth control.
But then, and then I want to ask you, you know, for Micah, because, you know, you come from a, both, actually both you too, Scott, because you come from a religious background as well. There comes a, I remember too that my sister's husband told my niece when he found out that she was on the pill in high school, he kicked her out of the house. He said, I'd rather have you home and pregnant than taking birth control. And my grandmother, my mother, my sister, her daughter, all married and pregnant by 19.
Fuck.
And so I had asked, and I told my niece and I told my sister, I said, listen, yes, I did have an abortion. And I believe abortion is, you know, works for everybody. I don't believe that, but I think it's a woman's right. But for me, it was one of the most gnarly experiences I ever went through. And I think about that shit a lot because
I'm
like,
were you awake during it?
Yes. Yes, I was.
That's why it feels like a vacuum cleaner is in your fucking
because
pussy.
A vacuum cleaner is inside
Hello.
Of your pussy.
Yeah.
And they're and I had to go to school.
I was awake the whole time.
I had
Wait, you were awake?
Yeah, it was
awful.
I
got
well,
that.
Well,
there's a baby steak, and I told him I drank a bottle of Jack the night before.
But, Velocity, it's
like
against
anesthesia.
The law for them to, without doing a local anesthesia. So
right.
I mean, I know that because there's Twilight Sleep and there's a local anesthetic.
Oh, they put a big needle inside my uterus.
Yes.
Yeah, I did local.
When I was awake.
And for me, when I went in, because I had to go to the doctor.
You had no needle?
No, I had no needle because I had the Twilight. Let me finish what I was saying. I had the thing called the Twilight Sleep, right? But what I had to do, because it was so early in the pregnancy, they put this slip of seaweed, which dilates your cervix. So I had to wear that to school, to my community college, for a full 48 hours so that my cervix could dilate just so they could
what?
Then take the baby out. And it was only, like, it was,
God.
Like, less than 8 weeks. And that, to me, I remember looking that up much later in my life when the internet came around because I thought, surely this must be something put into practice by men in the medical field to have women sit in pain and torture to see, do you really want to do this?
Right.
When in fact it was something where I took responsibility for my body and I still got pregnant. Then I took the pill after that and I got a blood clot in my leg because they turned up the
dosage.
Hormones. Yeah. And so I was like that 1%. So my whole life I spent wearing condoms, thank God, because I never would have made it out of the slutty 80s without HIV. I've had 6 lovers die in the past fucking five years, not
Me
20
too.
Years, 5
yes.
years.
Yes.
5 years. Like, I would have thought, oh, after the 90s, I'm like, oh, I'm safe. But then it was like, nope, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Mm.
Not just HIV, but like straight up. Plenty of people have HIV and it doesn't affect anything at all. But when you go back to the early days of infection and
yeah,
how
yeah,
it was just like,
yeah.
35% of your friends, boom,
yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. But now what I'm seeing is a lot of my friends who are my age, either latent or not caring anymore or not thinking that it's around because it's not the 80s. And then shit is like my age, 50s.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you made it through once. What are you doing? You know, I mean, well, let me ask it. What is it like right now? Because we see a lot of, I know there's a whole new campaign right now for like the,
prep.
What is it? The
prep.
And everything. There's like, if you're going to go bareback, we got you covered. Because I thought it was the Charmin Bears when I first saw that ad. Have you seen him? Because it's
what?
The two bears and like the Charmin,
what?
The Charmin toilet
well,
paper
right
ones.
Now,
he's like, wipe your ass and take
yeah.
a breath.
Yeah.
Is this like this is the anti-HIV drug you're talking
yes.
about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it's not anti, but they're
well,
saying it helps.
It's a protector.
Yeah.
If you are HIV positive and
yeah.
you take the medication that
yeah.
they give you and you are undetectable,
yes,
you are also untransmittable. Whether or not the person is on PrEP or not.
Now, do you
now,
think
PrEP,
that... Yes, okay, go ahead.
Now, PrEP is something that someone who doesn't have HIV can take.
Yes.
So that if the person with HIV isn't taking their drugs, that will block the HIV.
It protects the cells on both ends. It's the same drug, you know?
So
yeah.
do you think that because that drug is now available that people 100%. Are using less...
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
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 It's up 100%. And,
yeah.
the thing is, all the time
wow.
people are asking me about if you've got those.
Yeah.
You know, it's... And
what's the name of the drug, by the
PrEP.
Way?
PrEP.
Yeah, it's just called PrEP.
P-R-E-P.
PrEP. Yeah. All right.
She's like...
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, it's good that it's out there and it's good because people were doing it anyway, but a lot of people have the attitude now, like, oh, fuck it, let's do it.
That's
get,
what I mean.
But
yeah.
there
still
you
get
still
syphilis and gonorrhea.
You still get, and on those, HIV could piggyback on that. It's
yeah.
you know, it's a possibility that even though it's protected on another STD, it could be transmitted to you. So,
well, and then
still
as you said, it while you're on the medication, it makes it undetectable. But can the virus then still sit in your body so that after you're not on the medication, it then comes through?
So, yeah, just because it's undetectable doesn't mean it's not.
Oh, so it's like herpes.
It just means that it's
yeah,
keeping
yeah.
up.
Yeah. So
and
if you're
so,
on your Valtrex,
yeah.
you know,
but if you stop taking your medicine and it multiplies and it gets in your blood, you can transmit it to someone, but if that person is taking PrEP, then it blocks it.
Right.
Mm.
But if they're not, then you are highly transmittable.
Right.
Like, it's like 100%.
And it's good that it's out there, because people that were very back in before
Dude,
this, you know, they're like, oh, I don't sleep with positive guys. First of all, that's a dumb thing to say, because positive guys are undetectable,
yes.
mm-hmm.
and they're safer for you than a negative
mm-hmm.
guy, because a negative guy could have gone and had a test,
mm-hmm.
and a week later, have sex with,
see, that's
3 months
the
later,
biggest thing
have sex with people
guys.
And get
when
a
I got a test, I'm like, when? Like, last
yeah.
October, I was
yeah,
like, I'll meet you at the Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
yeah. You're
can
like,
we swab
bitch, every
now.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
If you were a sex worker
in Amsterdam, that would happen.
I was going to say, I know a lot of people who live their lives like non-paid sex workers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know,
that leads me to
yes.
the sex worker question.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, recently, a couple years ago, Red Boy got shut down,
mm-hmm.
which is like the porn, like, website where like all the hookers went.
Biggest gay escort.
And
mm-hmm.
but they were being sort of spied on by like Secret Service. Like it was like a government thing that like shut them down. But
the story is that there was a politician that slept with one of the Rand boys and they didn't want to have his records in there, so they raided him.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of my friends who do and rely on sex work.
Yeah.
And even outside of that, you know, I think that there's a stigma in our
country. I think the whole world
you know?
Has sex workers.
No, but like people in Amsterdam, you could anywhere in Europe.
I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet. Electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. Even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmother's fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half
work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter. This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty, like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? I know it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see in my country. I can't see. My eyes are too busy praying to my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact. Half my life I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle, Hillary. And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Therefore, reminding you that our balls are stronger than America.
Unring the broken